Well, good morning. It's nice to be back. I did sort of a similar presentation at the last meeting, and I thank both Dr. Omar Khan and Dr. Richard Derman for getting me back on this panel. I'm actually representing the NICHD Global Network this morning and will present some of the work that our group, Dr. Derman and both Suren and Miller, have been part of this group at for varying periods of time. I do have one disclosure. That's we are probably the first site to test misoprostol for its off-label use in a community setting. Now, the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development established the Global Network for Women's and Children's Health Research way back in 2001, which was co-funded by the Gates Foundation. Three distinct missions of the network were: one, to generate research evidence and expand the scientific knowledge, create sustainable research infrastructures in developing country settings, and through these two initiatives basically aim at improving the health outcomes of pregnant women and the children in these developing country settings. What the network sites have tried to do is address some of the leading causes of mortality both among the mothers and children, especially related to hemorrhage and birth asphyxia. So when the network was established, there were 10 sites, two sites in Brazil, one in Argentina, one site in Guatemala, Central America, then a couple of sites in Africa, the DRC and Zambia, and four sites in Asia, South Asia. That's a couple of sites in India, Pakistan, and the site in Tibet. So when the network started functioning, each of these sites had their own individual protocols or site-specific studies. So the African sites looked at complementary feeding, folate for cleft palate, antioxidants for preeclampsia. The Argentinian group did the guidelines trial that I'll talk about a little bit later. The DRC looked at artesunate for malaria in pregnancy. The Zambian sites did the first community-based training of health workers for newborn resuscitation. The Indian site in Orissa looked at probiotics for neonatal sepsis. The Pakistan sites looked at chlorhexidine wash for reducing perinatal sepsis. And our site in Belgaum and Suelen's site in Tibet looked at the use of misoprostol for prevention of postpartum hemorrhage. Whereas our study was a randomized placebo-controlled trial, the Tibet study looked at one of the traditional Tibetan medicines, ZB11, in comparison to misoprostol. So what came out of these studies was, number one, all these sites were able to establish community-based research infrastructure to conduct high-quality research. The results of our trial showed a significant reduction, almost 47% reduction in the incidence of primary postpartum hemorrhage. The guidelines trial in Argentina showed that even in hospital settings, and this was a large randomized control trial involving 16 hospitals across Argentina and Uruguay. So what that study showed us that even in hospital settings in the early 2000s, the active management, including the use of prophylactic oxytocin, was very low, and there was an unusually high rate of episiotomy. And through educational interventions of physicians and the nursing staff working in these hospitals, it was possible to scale up the use of oxytocin as well as bring down the rates of episiotomy. And the good news was that the effect persisted even one year after the completion of the trial. What Zambia showed us was that it is possible to reduce neonatal mortality by training birth attendants for newborn resuscitation with bag and mask skills. Now, based on the results of some of these studies and the new model that the network adopted in its second cycle, which started in 2006, we went in for common protocols. That is, protocols that can be implemented across the network sites. And in the new configuration, we had 7 sites. We had a new site in Nagpur in India. In our site in Belgaum and Karachi continued. Zambia as well. Kenya joined the group in place of DRC. The 2 Brazilian sites went out, but Argentina and Guatemala continue to be in the network. So these are the 7 sites which are currently in the network. And the common protocol that we have implemented so far, probably one of the most ambitious projects that we have been involved in, is the whole community-based training of health workers for newborn resuscitation and covering a wide spectrum of birth attendants. We've also established a maternal and newborn health registry that documents every pregnancy and its outcome in all these sites. We just completed a randomized controlled trial of emergency obstetric and newborn care, a complementary feeding RCT, and a brain head RCT of early developmental intervention for resuscitated or asphyxiated babies. So what we were able to show is, again, something that reinforces what was found in the Zambian study, that training the community health workers for essential newborn care, including bag and mask skills, is able to reduce significantly the early neonatal mortality rates. And it is gratifying to note that the leadership of the U.S. Health and Human Services Department chose it to visit our site and meet with the people who got trained and who were able to implement and practice the newborn resuscitation skills. One of the concerns that came up as we got on to that trial was, well, we may save newborns, but are we going to increase the risk of babies with certain compromise? So 3 of our sites did this early home-based intervention for development, and what we were able to show at the end of the study is that, number one, there was no difference between the control group, the non-resuscitated group, versus the resuscitated group in terms of the developmental indices. And second, doing a home-based intervention through community health workers by training the parents to work with their babies, we were able to show that we can achieve a significantly higher physical and mental development. And so these are some of the babies who were involved in that trial. Now they are 6 or 7 years old and who are doing much better than their contemporaries who were not part of the early developmental program. To me, probably the greatest strength of the network right now is our vast maternal and newborn health registry, which started in 2008 as of April 2012, and it's still ongoing. We have data on more than 250,000 pregnancy outcomes, and our site alone contributes almost a third to this registry. Now, what this registry does enable us is to look at trends. And earlier, Dr. Derman did mention about the whole move towards facility-based births. Yes, at our own site, the percentage of facility births has gone up from around 70 to 95%. Has that translated into better outcomes? Probably no. We still have very high mortality rates, and therefore, even though we have been able to shift the venue of birth, we have not really made an impact on the deaths that continue to occur. And therefore, there is a need to target our focus on improving the quality of care and the skill sets of the people working at or providing care at these facilities. It also gives us a sense of when these babies are dying. And you'll see that almost half of the babies die on day one, probably majority due to birth asphyxia, and some probably due to some intrapartum event which precipitates or which compromises the ability of the baby to survive. Currently, we are involved in two community-based studies or common protocols. One is looking at scaling up the use of antenatal corticosteroids for reducing newborn mortality. And second, we are also doing a large-scale testing of the helping babies breathe curriculum. So in terms of measuring our own output and whether the global network has achieved its mission, in terms of scientific productivity, I think we have been able to publish some significant studies in major scientific publications across the world. In terms of building research infrastructure, again, the network has been able to attract funding from other sources and been able to conduct high-quality research. In terms of impact on public health policy, WHO finally got misoprostol on its essential medicines list, and it's also now on the UN life-saving commodities for women and children. The WHO had to revise its own curriculum for the essential newborn care. Earlier, the focus was not so much on management of birth asphyxia, but now it's kind of central to the whole ENC training. First Breath was actually the very first instance of the AAP NRP curriculum being adopted for community settings, and the HBB curriculum is sort of an offshoot of that whole effort. These are some of the studies that we are planning. One, can we disseminate the use of ultrasound to lower level health facilities and improve the outcomes of women by identifying the risk status at an early stage? We are looking at interventions for reducing the effects of household air pollution, pulse oximetry for pneumonia. We are also looking at preconceptional nutrition, and again, the maternal and newborn health registry and the household survey that we do as part of that effort gives us the ability to identify women preconceptually and do some interventions to improve the outcomes for both the mother and the women. And we're also looking at reproductive health planning. So in terms of the impact, yes, we have been able to establish a strong community-based research infrastructure across the sites in the network, and the registry provides us a great opportunity to test a variety of interventions that can impact the community outcomes for the mothers and children. We have established partnerships with other agencies for conducting research. We did the intrapartum indicator study at 5 sites funded by Gates. We are working with Harvest Plus to look at zinc levels, and the brain study that I mentioned earlier was funded by Fogarty, and which occurred in 3 sites. We've also been able to conduct single-site studies. Just to mention, the Helping Babies Breathe curriculum was actually field-tested in the global network sites in Belgaum and Kenya, and is now being currently rolled out across the world through USAID missions. I did mention about some of our high impact publications, but I think overall what the network has done is to help the local governments and the ministries to improve the health status of the mothers and children. And I think that to us is the greatest achievement. So again, I, on behalf of the network, thank the US health leadership for acknowledging our work and providing a unique opportunity to meet the entire network investigators by participating in the steering committee of the network in June. And we are hopeful that the same kind of support and encouragement will continue in the future with the new administration. So I thank NICHD and the Gates for initiating this whole effort and helping us to do this wonderful work. Thank you.